Turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel. Chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Just to give the abbreviated readings, verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he, that's Christ, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now go back to Matthew, please, chapter 26. And verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, drop down, please, your eye to verse number 67. The end of 66 says, they answered and said, he is guilty of death. Verse 67, and they did spit on his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who it is that spoke. Now turn to Isaiah's prophecy, please. The center of our Bible, Isaiah, and chapter 52. Chapter 52 and verse number 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now there's a final two references in the book of the Revelation, please. At verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Chapter 22 of Revelation. Chapter 22. And verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now that's all I read, and I trust with the readings, with what we have heard, God will help us to conclude this meeting upon what we have before us as a portrait of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's no artist, no human artist, could ever, ever, with all his skill and genius, give us a genuine portrait of Christ. You may see some pictures that are supposed to be the Christ, but really no skill of man. And God has seen to it that there was never a picture taken of the Lord Jesus. We don't know what he was really like. But the Bible gives us a very graphic portrait of the Lord Jesus. And I would like to draw that to your attention tonight, for after all, Christ is the one that you and I have to do with. There's no way around it. You either have to do with him in grace, as we have been hearing, or in judgment, as we have read. You know, most pictures that we have flatter people. You ever notice that? Yeah. When I show pictures out and Aren't they lovely? Well, they are lovely, but sometimes the picture gives them a little flattery. Is that right? And we usually don't like to look at the old pictures like what we are when we're older. We like to go back to when we're younger. They really don't give us the right. You know, I've seen pictures, and when I saw the person, they were different. You might have saw a picture of me. Sometimes it looks a nice looking man. Now you're all different. So, I mean, you see me now a person. So, I mean, pictures generally flatter. But what I want to get at is, that's just to get your attention a moment, that the pictures that we would draw of Christ, the portrait that we would present of Christ, far comes beneath the reality. We can never exaggerate. We can never flatter. We can only present feebly the picture of our Lord Jesus. And I want to look at the six references. There are a number of others. But very quickly, to help you tonight, we have the steadfast face of the Christ. That the Lord Jesus, when he was here, his face was resolute. It was steadfast. People could see in that face of Christ, as he moved, that he was on a mission, that he was going somewhere, that nothing could detract him from that path that he was moving on. We know the devil tried. We know even his own tried. But it says he set his feet to go to Jerusalem. Steadfastly, he set his feet. In other words, the Christ who came here on earth was that about that he would get the honor of the Lord Jesus was a real man. Every inch of him was a real man. He was a true man. He was a perfect man. He was holy man. And was steadfast in his resolve to go to Jerusalem. He didn't try to hinder him. The devil tried to hinder him. Remember, we're going to go over the ground to hell. Didn't do it. Remember, we're going to have a hell of a good one. God's friend, he had a steadfast face to go to Jerusalem. He knew that that place was where he would finally find and crucified outside its walls. So I have, my friend, the steadfast face of the Christ. Secondly, I want you to look at the submissive face. And even the chairman, just prior to the county, all its reality of all the suffering and death and shame and sorrow and ignominy of that place, the Lord Jesus was out to that place called Gethsemane, these hollow places. And in that place it says, he fell on his face. That's indicative of this. That the peace will end in an absolute submission, not to his own will, but to the will of others. The Lord Jesus didn't come to do his will in the Father's will. With nothing like that most important, nothing of more priority in his life, that was his need. Then that will brought him to the sermon. The God like said, I don't think the disciples saw that as the man of submissiveness as it was the man on the road. He was a stone's cast from me. There he is, the ruler of the universe, the one that all planets into existence by the word of his power, and the one that keeps in their voice in space. Calls all the stars by their name. He's lying, crossed with his face to the ground frame. What's he doing? He's praying. As he was saying, oh my Father, it would be possible. Get this cup. And he's looking in, giving them into a cup for 3 years. And he's looking in and he sees a tremendous avalanche of sorrow, suffering, judgment, loneliness, death, and all increased in that leap into that cup.
You're talking to me, I'm sorry. You were saying that You know, you should be like, if you are, you should be like,
She's lost to me. She's away. And I can't stand it. Would you mind, sir? No, he says, I'll put it off. And she put it all on in the conference. One day she came in just like she usually come into the tower, just going to have a big night of revelry. Stop the moment and girl says, what's wrong? That looks like somebody I know. And she drew near. And she says, oh, she said, that's my mother. And then she drew nearer still and she read underneath of these words, Mary, I love you still. Friend, tonight I want to tell you there's a Savior beyond a mother's love, beyond the compassion of a mother or the pity of a father, friend. And with all that you have done to him, with the way you've treated him and put him out of your life and said no to Christ, yes to sin, yes to self, yes to the world, yes to pleasure, yes to friendship. With all that you've done, friend, on traveling that road that leads to endless perdition, could this voice come floating, not from Albert Hull's poor, feeble, fickle lips, but from heaven's throne, I love you still. Friend, has it ever gripped your heart, ever registered in your mind? The dishonor face. I want to go a little further, friend.
From our face,
not a scarred face. Don't like that word. But I'm looking at a marred face. And friend, Isaiah 52 describes beyond our comprehension. And if you can't understand it, well, I'll agree with you, I can't either. But I'm going to look at the portrait just a moment. His visage was so marred, that is so loved, so great salvation, so marred, more than any man's, and is far more than the sons of men. I would gather in the context of Isaiah 52, it's not the dishonoring features that Christ had when men spat upon him and buffeted him and beat him and plucked the hairs from his cheeks. No, friend, it's the intense sufferings under the mighty wrath of Almighty God against our sins. Cause the visage
to be marred. Unrecognizable.
You know, friend, the pains that Christ suffered for our sins, we can never tell. The tremendous, excruciating agony that he went through in dark Golgotha. When, friend, God made to meet upon him the iniquity of his own. I don't think really anyone looked upon the visage marred. All is in heaven. He saw him for 3 hours to the open gaze. Men passed by. Yes, he did say, instead of who is this, some renderings give it, what is this? In disdain. But then there's something about Calvary, the depths of which we shall never fathom.
the heights of which we shall never scale, the breadth of which we shall never measure. When God dealt with His Son, please take it in tonight, as He should have dealt with me,
wouldn't it for me? Wouldn't it for me? I love that story. Excuse me for telling it, but I love it. When that dear prince come in to look at those soldiers coming from the battlefield of World War II, he was taken to a hospital with 36 beds, and his job was to give his encouragement and cheer and thanks to those soldiers who braved the battlefields. See the shrapnel and the legs torn off and the arms, and the faces battered. And the superintendent of that hospital took the prince in to look at 33 beds in one room. And having looked at them, he was touched and felt it keenly. He thanked them and cheered them and gave them a little word of encouragement. And the superintendent was going to lead him out, and the prince said, "I thought you said 36 beds, you only showed me 33. "Well," said the superintendent, "Your Majesty, I didn't want to embarrass you to see the other three. They're so badly mangled." He said, "I must see." Took him into another ward where there's two. In that ward there were really sad looking pictures of what the war ravages caused and ran the battlefield. The prince was overcome. He said a few words. Finally, the superintendent was going to lead him out. He said, "I thought you told me 36. I've only saw 35. Oh, said the superintendent of that prison, of that hospital. He said, "I'm sorry, Your Majesty, but the one in the isolated ward, very, very sorry, and I didn't want to give the embarrassment." He said, "I must see him." Superintendent stooped back and watched the prince gently, cautiously, reverently go over to that bed, and he looked at one at what once was a human being, that now was no longer looking like a human being. Legs amputated, arms off, face battered. The superintendent said it was a kind of like a deathly silence. No words were spoken. The prince bent down and coming up with you for just falling thick and fast against him. Wounded. Friend, that's what we do. And when I do the calendar, there's plenty of rocks and darkness. Besides, you found his hair and eyes on the cross. I'll creep beside him as a worm, see him. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I believe every one of us tonight, saved and unsaved, would do well to read of yonder Golgotha's hill, and see that lonely sufferer bearing shame, but not his own suffering, agony unknown. There bleeding, dying, suffering, enduring the blast of God's wrath against your sins and mine. May God help you to take it in. Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone! Hallelujah! Gone my transgressions, and now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. I wasn't really overexcited when I got saved, but I was excited.
I mean, you can't be anything but a little excited. I mean, it didn't jump off the ground. And it didn't shout hallelujah or praise the Lord. I've done that many times since. But friend, I'll tell you what happened on that roadside. You know what I said? An automatic expression. Oh God, thanks for the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Did you ever come to that, friend? When you appreciated from the depths of your soul that Christ, as we have been hearing, so clearly came into the world to save sinners. That mouthpiece, friend, of the Christ tells forth the tremendous sufferings of his soul on the cross. I want to look at my time, just 2 minutes. Or so three. I want to look at the attractiveness. Then I want to tell you tonight, with the face of glory that's not marred, with the face of glory that's not dishonored, with the face of glory that's not now so much a steadfast face or a submissive face, but there's a face of glory, radiant, bright, majestic, glorious, transcendent, resplendent, and there it is, friend. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Can the blind singer say, well, face to face, with Christ my Savior, face to face, what would it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. I wanted to be quiet tonight, but the voice up again. God help us. That face, friend, that person, the loveliness of my God, speaking of his loveliness and his beauty and grandeur and transcendent glory, I'm happy to go to heaven, speaking forth the worth of such a triumphant, unrivaled, superb, supreme, delightful Savior. Oh, friend, tonight, would that he would fill this house so much, this little place, that sinners would touch the hem of his garment. Saved. Hallelujah, what a Savior. My friend, I'm going to see his face. You ever think what it's going to be like? Yeah. You know, we can't draw better illustrations in our own family. I know when I was back home, you know, and my dear wife, I saw a very forlorn face, you know, inside. And Robert, you know, and I slept in the same room, went to the same school, had the same days. God saved me at 21 almost. He wasn't saved. And I saw him that day with bowed head, with tears. He couldn't even lift a handkerchief to relieve. I saw his brother leaving the quayside. I knew that his thoughts were as my thoughts were. It's the parting of the rest. Never going to meet again, people. He's lost. You know, when I was at home, I want to see all the family, sure, and all the dear kids. They're lovely. I hope you know that the kids are lovely. That was all our little whims and our little idiosyncrasies and stuff with the car. Anyway, excellent in all we are. But I wanted to see him. You know why? I wanted to see him again. So I hope that God will spare me the joy of seeing him. I'm seeing him out to meetings, and I did. He come to all the meetings, 13.
Let them still on sale. Let them still on sale. For my last
I'm not ashamed of that.
Boy, I tell you what I saw when I was waiting for him, he was a sick man. He had an original sugar in his head. And he spoke of the green man. No one living in this new house. He stood there. He just wanted to wrap my arms around him. And he
See heaven will be heaven. Do you wonder? And homesteadable. Never more sin, sire, sorrow. Lose my temper or ever grows for the beauties and joys of tomorrow.
Would you like to see him? Are you looking for him?
You want to see him? The attractive face will lose none of its luster.
As I conclude, friend,
you don't need an embrace. Sitting on a throne, heaven and earth meet.
Where will you be then? Where will you be? If you die without him, you miss the Christ. You'll see him all right. But the awesomeness of that peace will cause eternal dread in your soul to leave the face of the judge whose face at Calvary was once bathed in sweat and blood, that you might see it. And you rejected him, you refused him, you turned him down, you took your own way, you just believed what you thought was all right, and you failed to accept him, then that face will consign you eternally, and not even have to serve him. That face will consign eternally to everlasting woe and despair. May God help you tonight. I'd like to stand on that face of beauty and glory. May God help you tonight to come to him. As we have been hearing, he's worthy of your acceptance.
Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the wonder of the universe, the Lord Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. And Paul added, of whom I am chief. And here we are, Lord, tonight, this Wednesday night, inside these four walls with an open Bible and the presentation of the only one worthy of presentation, our Lord Jesus. And we pray that souls tonight in their sin and guilt and lostness might look to Calvary and recognize that when Christ was on that tree, that visage marred those sorrows too, the wounds, the scourge, the God. These are the golden chains of love, this captive to and fro. Grant that someone tonight might creep beside him as a worm and see him die for me. What a joy it would be, it would never be the same. Grant, Lord, in this meeting, for thy glory and the honor of thy Son, that someone will trust him even tonight. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Number 244. 244 verses 3 and 4, and the meeting is concluded. Remember, the meeting's announced each night of Friday and then Saturday at Main Street at 7:30, Sunday here 3:30, and 7:30, the last meeting of the series. Thank you very much for coming tonight. 244 verses 3 and 4.